Welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman. And today we continue in John chapter 14, verse 27, speaking on the area of peace. We know that we live in a world full of crime, full of wars, full of catastrophes that lead to great fear within our heart. And in John 14, the context is that these disciples are experiencing great fear because Jesus has just told them that he's leaving. And I take great comfort in reading the response of Christ to their fear. And he says this in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." The key to having peace in your life, number one that we focused on last time, is having a right relationship with God. That's where peace comes from. And as a result of that peace, you are then given a gift of peace. Notice what he said in verse 27. Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." Don't miss the significance there. This is a supernatural gift. It's his own personal peace that he's giving to you. It's the same peace that stilled Jesus' heart in the midst of mockers, haters, murderers, traitors, and everything else he faced on his way to the cross. Being mocked, spit upon, beat up, crown of thorns, nail-pierced hands. He spoke not a word. Where was his confidence? How was he able to respond in great calmness and unwavering faith? Because his confidence and his hope was in the Father. He understood his Father had a plan. Jesus the Son submitted to the Father's will. He trusted the Father. So we see that peace is rooted in God. Now, as we continue to read verse 27, we see there's a contrast of peace. So not only does he say it's supernatural and it's a gift from God, that Jesus gives us his own peace, but we also see that it's not like the peace of the world. Notice what it says, "Not as the world gives, do I give to you." In other words, his peace is not like the peace of the world, which tells me that there is a peace that this world gives, but it's a counterfeit peace. It doesn't truly satisfy. It doesn't truly give you rest and calmness and a settledness. They tell us what will give us peace. They call it peace. But in reality, it actually won't. The world's peace is worthless. It's shallow. It's unfulfilling. Why is the world's peace shallow, unfulfilling, and worthless? Well, because most people's pursuit of peace is only an attempt to get away from their problems. If I can remove the circumstances, if I can remove myself, then that will bring a peace. And that's not reality. That's why people seek peace through alcohol and drugs and any kind of escapism. Because they believe if they just remove the situation, then that will provide peace. People truly believe that if they just go to bed and take a blind eye to their circumstances, that it would bring peace. However, what do they forget? The next morning they wake up and their circumstances haven't changed. The reason you cannot find peace in anything but God is because none of these things deal with man's deepest issue. Man's deepest issue that caused a lack of peace to begin with is our sin. And when your sin is dealt with, when your sin is taken care of, when you have nailed your sin to the cross and given it over to Jesus, and it has been forgiven, true peace can be given to you and can be experienced. The fact is, apart from God, there is no real peace in this world. And when we have a right relationship with God, we can have peace. And as a result of peace, look what he says at the end of verse 27. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus shows us the proper response to his promise of peace. In the midst of great fear, Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." It's a gift to you so that you don't have to have a troubled heart and you don't have to live in fear. He says, "It's right here. Just take it." Isn't it interesting that he says, "I give you peace"? And then he says, don't let your heart be troubled. This peace he gives us has to be received and it has to be applied. If somebody gives you a gift, you have to take it. It has to be received. And then it has to be applied to our lives. So here's the point. If we lay a hold of the promise of the very peace of Christ, we will, in return, be given a calmness of spirit, an untroubled heart, regardless of our external circumstances. And you may be sitting there thinking, but Pastor Steve, I'm a Christian. I am at peace with God in my relationship with Him. I am a child of God. And as a result, that peace between me and God is there. However, why don't I feel like I have peace in my life? Why is my soul troubled? Why is my spirit troubled? Why is there not a settledness in my heart? Well, if you have a troubled heart today, my friend, it's simply because you're not believing God for something. If you have a right relationship with God and you're a believer, then you do have peace, ultimate peace with God. You will not be judged for your sin because they were nailed to the cross. And if you still have a troubled heart and are unsettled in your spirit, it simply comes back to then you're not trusting God for something. Maybe you're the type of person who struggles with Romans 8:1 when it says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. You know what that means? It means you are not guilty. You are free. Maybe there's a lack of settledness in your heart because of the life you used to live before Christ. And that there were sins that you have committed that you cannot believe you have been forgiven from. And you just hold on to it. And it is just keeping you in bondage. Well, Romans 8:1 clearly tells us that your sins have been forgiven. Sins past, present, and future have all been paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ. You are declared righteous. You are declared free. There is no judgment for you. Hold on to that truth, and it will give you peace. Maybe you're here and you're listening and you struggle with 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love the way this verse reads. If you were to read it in the original context and language, it says, if I keep on confessing, He is faithful and just to keep on forgiving and to keep on cleansing from all unrighteousness. It's a continual action. Maybe you struggle because you keep committing the same sin over and over and over again. And in your mind, you're thinking, how in the world can God continue to forgive me when I keep stabbing Him in the back? I told the Lord that I wouldn't live in idolatry, and here I keep going back to these idols of the world, and I keep committing adultery against Him because I love these things of the world more than I love Him. How can I keep asking forgiveness when I do it over and over and over again? Well, look what this verse says. If I keep on confessing, He is faithful to what? Keep on forgiving. If you remember in the book of 1 John, He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He said it also in the book of John. How do you know that you're a true believer? My true believers will keep my word. So if we are true believers and our desire is to love the Lord by keeping His word, what does He tell us to do when we sin? We are to confess it before Him. That's a command. So we can take comfort in knowing the character of God, that no matter how many times I sin against God, He is faithful to keep on forgiving me. That provides a peace in my soul. Maybe you're listening and you struggle with Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. And this is Jesus saying, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food or your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And you know the context of this passage. Jesus looks at these people and He says, you're worried about food and you're worried about clothing. Yet these birds don't even have a thought as to what they're going to eat today. But yet God feeds them every day. You don't see birds lying on the ground that die of starvation. God feeds them. Aren't you more important than they are? Maybe you're somebody who struggles with fear of the future. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the future holds. And yet we find great comfort and rest and peace in the promises of Matthew 6, where he says he will take care of our needs. He told us he would. And when I focus and I meditate on the truths that God has told me, it gives my spirit peace. He promises to supply our future need. He has promised to forgive our past. And yet the reason we don't have peace as believers at times is because we are not trusting what God has already told us. Perfect peace comes when our focus is off the problem, off the trouble, and constantly on Christ. I love Isaiah 26:3. It says this, "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you." So let's look at two things as we close. Perfect peace, number one, comes by a continual trust in the Lord. As a believer, are you trusting God? Whether it's from the forgiveness of your sin or to the provision of tomorrow, are you trusting him? I love Philippians 4, verses 4 through 6. Because it reminds us of the second way that we can have peace. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And then what happens? "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." So not only does peace come by continually trusting the Lord, but peace comes through prayer. Did you notice that in Philippians 4? The whole idea behind these three verses is this: worry about nothing, pray about everything. Sometimes prayer is the very last thing we do when it's supposed to be the very first thing that we do. So peace comes by continual prayer. So my question to you is this: do you have peace? And if not, there's only two explanations why. Either you don't have a right relationship with God, you're not a believer, or you're not trusting God for something. So what happens when I don't have a settledness or a peace or a calmness in my heart? Remind yourself of truth. Philippians 4:8 says, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, just, pure, lovely, think on these things." Get into the Word. Remind yourself of the character of God. When you find yourself worrying or fearful, pray. Trust Him. And as a result of having a peace in your relationship with God, because your position is right through the righteousness of Christ that has been granted to you through the cross, as a result, Jesus says, "I give you my peace," this calmness of the inner man, and this calmness that can be expressed through the outward action, but that can only come when you trust him and when you pray. I hope that's an encouragement to you today, knowing that you can have peace, knowing that peace can only come from God. Have a blessed day.